form.
BATF IRS CIANF BI FDA and FCC ADL and KGB. Now I know my ABCs, all of which spell tyranny.
All right, welcome Christian Israel, Pastor Eli James, along with Michael Swede. You are listening to Eurofolk Radio and Speak Free Radio, and today we're going to be talking about the X marks the spot, the solar eclipse paths that have gone from August 21st, 2017 to April 8th, 2024, which is a week from Monday, and all of the prophetic significance of the entire scenario. And Michael and I will be talking about that. But Michael has an introductory article that we can start with. Okay, over to you, Michael.
Thank you very much. Yeah, this is a very interesting phenomenon that it will happen now on April the 8th. That is also happening across over America. So it also shows about the significance about the United States and America in biblical prophecy, I think, when you see this stuff happen in America.
Yes.
Okay, I will start to reading an article here that is from the State of the Nation. It is called Warning. This is why they are worried about the solar eclipse on April the 8th. Prepare now. So let's start. It's first in picture over destroyed city. It said the town of New Madrid was completely destroyed. And that event, I don't know, and this happened some time ago, maybe, when this happened. What is some magnitude?
Right. Yeah, during the War of 1812, actually. Yeah. Biggest eclipse, biggest earthquake ever in American history.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's see. Apparently, local, state, and country governments are warning people that the last time there was an eclipse that crossed the New Madrid fault line, the fault below, and was the worst quake known to American history. It ranged the church bell in Boston and Mississippi River flowed backwards. The New Madrid fault line roughly follows the Mississippi River. State impacted: Indiana, Illinois, Tennessee, Missouri, Oklahoma. And also there is a map in the article that shows all the impacted states. And it's basically all the eastern states, without some of the most eastern one is not affected. But in the heartland of the eastern state are affected by this.
Yes, Nick.
Areas
so it's possible that we will. Yeah, go ahead.
No, sorry. Please go on.
I was just going to say it's possible that another earthquake is due. A lot of earthquake watchers are saying the New Madrid fault line is overdue for a quake. right. But the fact that they're more rare than quakes in California makes it the buildup leading to the earthquake. Usually leads to a really large quake as opposed to the smaller quakes you have on the West Coast, right? Okay, back to you.
Thank you. So, areas along the Mississippi and Ohio rivers that are sandy will suffer liquefaction, ground sinks.
Wow, okay.
Home need to be bolted to their foundation, or they may slide right off the foundation and collapse. No doubt, all the bridges along the Mississippi will collapse or are likely to, since they are not built for seismic zones. This could result in a serious disruption of transportation, with with east, west freeways broken. So in addition to death and destruction, it is likely to have a negative impact on commerce and the stock market.
Yeah, that, well, that's for sure. All right. Okay.
Also, if there is a large quake on the New Madrid fault line, it is quite possible that could jostle the fault line on the west coast, which could trigger quakes on the west coast too. In 1812, when the New Madrid last blew, CA was barely populated, so it is unknown if the west coast fault erupted as well. Well, we know God has been warning that this evil nation, America, was headed for judgment. And I knew this eclipse was a very evil omen passing through several towns called Nineveh.
Mm-hmm.
Nineveh.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, now the fact that the seven cities of Nineveh, it being an eclipse path. Now, all of these factoids that we're going to be talking about are extremely rare, and the coincidence of all of these interesting factoids, the odds against this being just coincidence and non-eventful are extremely rare. Okay, one chance in a billion that all of these coincidences. Excuse me, what we're going to be talking about have no significance, okay? So, yeah, but please continue. Yeah, because the seven cities named Nineveh remind us of when Jesus said, "You, the Pharisees, will not have any sign from me except the sign of the prophet Jonah," which was the 3 days and three nights he spent in the underworld. But also the fact that Jonah prophesied and preached to the citizens of Nineveh, and a great number of them repented. And there was an eclipse in Nineveh when he was doing that. Okay, so yeah, I'll see if I can look that up in the meantime. But please continue.
Nineveh in the Bible was warned they were about to be destroyed, but Nineveh fasted for 3 days and repented, and God temporarily suspended the judgment. Do you think Americans will fast for 3 days and repent? I wouldn't hold my breath, so get ready. So I knew this eclipse was a warning that judgment is coming. I just didn't think it would be so fast on the heels of this eclipse. But we have been warned. Apparently, state and county governments in the area of the eclipse and fault line are taking the threat very seriously. And then there is a little picture here on this article that said like this. There's a picture I think it's from the Mississippi River, that says, one of the most powerful earthquakes recorded in U.S. history, the New Madrid earthquakes of 1811 to 1812, were so powerful that they reversed the flow of the Mississippi River, rang church bells in Boston, and cracked sidewalks in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a powerful earthquake. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, imagine that kind of earthquake in today's more outbuilt place today. That could have some serious effect.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, I think, one of the things we're going to be talking about is the fact that this year, 2024, is the 70th Jubilee from the day that Joshua and the Israelites invaded Canaan land, okay? And 70 jubilees is, 70 is a number of judgment, and I think Yahweh is going to declare his jubilee, and the purpose of the jubilee is to cancel all debts. Every 49 years, the Israelites were supposed to cancel all debts, but they never have, and certainly the Jews have never canceled any debts on the Jubilee, even though they're supposedly God's chosen people, Israel, right? So there's another influence getting ready to happen here in 2024. But back to you.
Yeah, and maybe Yahweh makes sure to give a big earthquake to collapse this economical system.
That's right. That's right. And there's nothing the Jews will be able to do about it. Okay? Yeah.
Exactly. And that is so beautiful with it. They cannot do anything. Yeah. They can sit and do their risk management all day they want, but they can't foresee the black swan that will come up sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Risk management. I like that.
Yeah, when you hear bank, because when I've spoken to people that work in banks, they always speak about risk management. That's the only thing they speak about. So I think, yeah, you want to avoid the very that Yahweh will judge your business. You know your business is so fragile, so you do risk management all day because you're so fragile and such a bad business model. Also, because if a business model going under because of goes to bust, they will shouldn't that business should not any longer exist. It should go bust, should disappear. But instead, in your nation, in Sweden, we give the banks money. But there's a false business model. What's the problem?
No, they're too big to fail. Remember, isn't that the line that we've been, that the big banks that should have gone bust have been bailed out by the Federal Reserve. In other words, by the taxpayer, right? So this is the business model that has prevailed in the 20th century. As long as the Jews control the world economy, this will continue to happen. And I think, Michael, I think they can continue to inflate the money supply at will because you're talking about an economy that feeds, 8 billion people now? And even though the inflation rate since the Fed was created is probably 1,000%, right? Nobody notices because nobody understands that the bankers are the ones who create inflation. It's not just something that happens all by itself, okay? All right, back to you.
Thank you. So, the great New Madrid earthquake were preceded by the arrival of a comet that had not been seen since the ancient Egyptians. And there's a name here, Teshumseh's Comet, some called it, was also known as Napoleon's Comet in Europe, and is estimated to have measured 1,000,000 miles across from head to tail and was a very visible sight in the night sky.
Yeah, very good. And we're supposed to have another one coming during this eclipse period, a major comet that only comes every 71 years. And that's supposed to be occurring during this eclipse as well. Okay. So again, more signs in the sky. Get ready for judgment, folks. That's what we're talking about. Get ready for judgment.
Teshumseh's comet was named after a Shawnee leader who was rallying support among Native American tribes to curb the takeover of the land by the white man. His name means shooting star. This comet was visible for 11 months during the New Madrid earthquakes. The comet was accompanied by a solar eclipse that year before the earthquakes and left many wondering if something was about to happen. Is it possible that the earthquakes were a side effect of this celestial object arrival? It is known that the surface of the Earth is affected by the gravitational pull of the Moon with sea tides and land tides. But when two large celestial bodies are lined up together, like the Sun and the Moon, causing a solar eclipse, the gravitational pull on the surface of the Earth will be greater.
Mm-hmm.
So, strange animal behavior.
Right. Usually accompanies eclipses and comets and earthquakes, right?
Yeah. It is said, in the days prior to the enumerated earthquakes, animals began to display very strange behavior. Snakes crawled out of their holes in winter, and many animals vacated the area. Tame animals began to become vicious and turn on their masters.
Oh, wow.
Wild animals lost their fear of humans and began to approach them. Deer tried to enter houses, and the flocks of geese landed at people's feet.
Okay. I've been attacked by geese when I was a little kid. They're strong. They're big. You know, if you're a child, a goose is a pretty large animal.
Gargantuan snakes, turtles, and other creatures that were frighteningly strange or large began to be seen. Strange sounds. In the 2 or 3 years prior to the New Madrid earthquakes, many mysterious loud booms and cracks were heard. Many described these sounds as resembling the sound of very large guns or artillery explosions. Much louder booms and explosion sounds were heard directly before the New Madrid earthquake struck, and signaling the following shocks.
It's true that the art of predicting earthquakes is not totally refined yet. However, they have used in the past the strange animal behavior a few days before the actual earthquake as a sign. Hey, earthquake's getting ready to happen. So everybody be apprised that if your animals start acting really strange, there's going to be an earthquake. Back to you.
And Tia Shumse actually foretold the New Madrid earthquake to a group of Creeks prior to the event in these words. Brothers, the Great Spirit is angry with our enemies. He speaks in thunder, and the earth swallows up villages and drinks up the Mississippi. The great waters cover the lowlands. Their corn cannot grow. The Great Spirit will sweep those who escape to the hills from the earth with his terrible breath. Your blood is white. You do not believe the Great Spirit has sent me. You shall know. I leave Tuckabathe directly and shall go straight to Detroit. When I arrive there, I will stamp on the ground with my foot and shake down every house in Tuckabathe.
Okay. So I wonder how badly Detroit was affected by that earthquake. That's interesting.
So, and Tia Kumshe arrived in Detroit on December 16, 1811, precisely when the first two and strongest of the New Madrid earthquake struck. Teshumse's prophecy of the earthquake was made month in advance and was accurate down to the very day. Did the prophet Teshumse use some sort of sorcery or external force to attempt to stop the encroachment upon his ancestral lands? Or did he possess knowledge or contact with sources that we do not yet understand? It is probably
Yahweh gives visions to all kinds of people, not just Israelites. Okay, for example, George Washington during the Indian Wars was approached by an Indian chief, and that Indian chief told him that he would be the leader of a great country. Okay, so that's recorded history. So yeah, it's not just Israelites that get visions. All kinds of people get visions. Yeah, but you know, the proof is in the pudding. Does the vision come true, right? Okay, back to you.
It is probably important to note that Teshumse's brother, Tenskwatawa, meaning open door, was also known as a prophet among his people. Tenskwatawa Tava was said to have fallen into a trance so deep that his family believed him dead and planned his funeral. Tenskavatkwa awakened from the trance with a new revelation about renouncing all things that come from the white man, like the liquor, for that he believed plagued his people. Tenskavatkwa made a prediction of his own, which originally earned the brothers great renown and following. 50 days from this day, there will be no cloud in the sky. Yet, when the sun has reached its highest point, at the moment will the Great Spirit take it into her hand and hide it from us. The darkness of night will thereupon cover us, and the stars will shine round about us. The bird will roost, and the night creatures will awake and stir. And that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what happens during an eclipse. So it's always a very exciting thing if you can be part of it. But let me just, there's also warnings of a potential false flag event planned by the Jews of America. And you never know if there's going to be a biological attack or a chemical attack. To try a false flag to just make everybody crazy, right? And get the people all afraid. And, you know, and then the Jews can claim, see, this is because America hasn't been supporting the Israelis enough, right? America is being judged because we don't support the red heifer theory and the rebuilding of the third temple, right? Which is, again, Jewish nonsense, but Christians take it seriously. All right. So. Okay, so yeah, unfortunately, I didn't have a copy that you were reading from. I lost it. But here, I'm going to share this with the people in the chat room. And this is, a comet will be visible during the 2024 total solar eclipse. And this is also extremely rare. And so I'm going to share this with the people in the chat room, that we're going to have this comet. And it is going to be very exciting, folks. So hold on. Let me get the. There we go. Okay. So, the Devil Comet, as it is called, will be visible during the 2024 solar eclipse. Okay. That's extremely rare for anything else to be, you know, you'll see a star or two that comes out during the eclipse because the sky gets so dark that the larger stars and planets even will be visible. But for a comet to be visible during the solar eclipse, that's extremely rare, okay? It says here, it's not often a bright comet is near the sun during a total solar eclipse. On April 8, 2024, Catch Comet 12P /Pons-Brooks visit to the solar system by Allison Plesman. On April 8, 2024, all eyes will be on the eclipsed sun during totality. After all, it's the main attraction. But as the sun is blotted out, darkness will fall during the day, rendering more than just the solar corona visible in the sky. Stars and planets will appear, lighting up amid the false twilight that occurs during a total eclipse. Several of the brightest stars and planets will come into view, and one special visitor, Comet 12P Pons-Brooks. That's right, bring your binoculars along during the total solar eclipse, and you might be able to catch a comet hovering in the sky near the eclipsed sun. Now, the discovery of Comet Pons-Brooks, which is also called the Devil Comet because it took the shape of the devil's horns while it was passing through the first time. The discovery of Comet Pons-Brooks. Amateur astronomer, astrophotographer, and longtime comet lover Dave Weichselman from Nevada City, California, discovered that Comet Pons-Brooks would be near the eclipse sun during totality of the 2024 eclipse. Weichselman tells Astronomy he knew that Pons-Brooks would be reaching perihelion in 2024, as a possible naked eye comet. So now this has a, okay, so here's the number 70 again. So one day he plotted the comet's location at the date and time of the eclipse during the Sky Safari software. He is setting the view location inside the path of totality in southern Texas. That's when he saw that comet Pons-Brooks will be located near Jupiter and some 24.5 degrees from the eclipsed sun. This means the comet will be potentially visible at mid-eclipse to those searching with binoculars or a telescope or capturing the scene with a camera. 12P Pons-Brooks has a period of just over 70 years. April 8th, the date of the 2024 eclipse, is just 2 weeks before the comet reaches perihelion, the closest point to the sun in its orbit. On April 8th, comet Pons-Brooks will sit about 1.61 astronomical units from the Earth, or nearly 150 million miles, on the opposite side of the sun from our planet. So, but it'll still be visible even though it's that far away. And one astronomical unit is the average Earth-Sun distance. This will be near the time it reaches peak brightness, as it won't come much closer to Earth even after it approaches around the sun. So, also, six planets will be in the sky during totality of the 2024 solar eclipse. Venus will be the brightest magnitude at 3.9. On the opposite side of our star, the sun will be the second brightest planet magnitude, Jupiter, okay? Jupiter will serve as a convenient guidepost to find comet Pons-Brooks, says Wechselman, as the comet will lie just 6 degrees west of Jupiter. So we have a confluence of stars and planets during this total solar eclipse. All of these factors coming in to make this an extremely rare event, an extremely rare event. Okay, so any comment from you or anything else from you at this point, Michael?
No, not at this moment, but very interesting that they called this one the devil's comet.
Right.
That's kind of interesting to having calling it that.
Right, right. And because the devil rules the world, right? Satan is the prince of this world, according to Paul. Now, maybe this whole eclipse path business that we're going to be talking about today is a judgment upon the perfidious Jew and their banking empire called Mystery Babylon, okay? So here's another article that I want to share with everybody. And this one is called, it's from Desert Waterfalls. What's the exact title here? It just says, this is about the solar eclipse of 2017. And because we want to talk about three eclipse paths, the one from August 2017, there was another eclipse that went through America in October of 2023, and of course the upcoming one in April 8th. So let me copy this and share it with people in the chat room. And here we go. And Michael, if you want to pick that up as well. All right, so Desert Waterfalls, solar eclipse of 2017. Solar eclipses are very common. Well, I mean, they happen all across the world, all the time. However, for one locality to have two eclipses in 7 years, that's extremely rare. And the first one in 2017 was exclusive to America, which is also very rare. I don't think that's ever happened before in the history of the world that a solar eclipse only hit one country. Of course, America is a very large country, but the solar eclipse went from the Pacific Ocean, entered America at in Oregon, Salem, Oregon, and then across to the United States to South Carolina, and where it hit Salem, South Carolina, okay, and then went back out to sea. So only one country was hit by that eclipse, which is extremely rare. So the article says, solar eclipses are very common. So what would make America's total solar eclipse of 2017 stand out as different? Is there anything about this event that would cause one to pause and consider? Let's look. When considering the information presented in this post, it is good to remember a few things from Scripture. Genesis 1:14 says that the sun and the moon are for signs and for seasons and for days and years, The word signs in that verse could also be translated as an omen or a warning. Amos 3:7. Indeed, the sovereign Yahweh never does anything until he reveals his plan to his servants, the prophets. Okay? I think those of us in identity are the only ones really appreciating the significance of all of these eclipse paths that are facing us right now. Number three, in scripture, the name of a person or place had great significance. The names were given for a reason. The link below is to a blog that references seven cities named Salem that are in this eclipse's path of totality. The name Salem means peace, but it's also the original name of what became the city of Jerusalem. The number seven is a number of spiritual perfection, also something that is complete. Seven American cities named Salem were darkened by this event. Now, what are the odds of that, Michael?
That is not a coincidence. That is a design perfectly calculated by Yahweh, I would say. And I can mention also, pretty close to where I live, there's a place called Salem.
Ah, really?
Yeah, okay. It is.
Well, why don't you go to Salem? But you won't be able to see the eclipse from there, right?
Okay. No.
Now, go ahead.
No, I can't see. But just funny to see this. This word Salem is so common in America, and it means So that is very interesting.
Yeah. Well, there's also Salem, Massachusetts, where the Salem witch trials occurred. And I'm wondering if that's going to be in the eclipse path, too. We'll have to check that out when we get to the 2024 eclipse. All right. So if there's a link here, Seven Salems has more detail. So let me open this link. Oh, it says site can't be reached. So that link doesn't work. I'll just continue with the article here. I did a search to confirm the reference to a city of Salem in Wyoming. This is what I found. Salem, Wyoming. That Salem is no longer a city. The picture shows a cemetery with the name Salem and an American flag on either side. It used to be a city. Wyoming is a very sparsely populated place. A friend of mine used Google Maps and found a street named Salem in Carbondale, located just south of Southern Illinois University. The university has a page on its website that says Southern Illinois, the Eclipse Crossroads of America, and that's where I'm going to be on April 8th to watch the X marks the spot, because it's actually Macanda, Illinois, is the intersection of the two eclipses. And David Ewing and I were planning on meeting there because we were there for the August 2017 eclipse, although we were never able to meet up because the superhighway called I-57 was a parking lot. You couldn't get anywhere for 40 miles in either direction. The traffic wasn't moving, but most of the people could just get out and watch the eclipse from where their cars were stranded, and they got a pretty good view. Okay. So this time I'm going to be, go ahead.
Sorry, was that for the eclipse last time that it was a parking lot?
Yeah. The highway, cool. Interstate. If 57 had so much traffic that nobody could go anywhere. So, but they were, even if they weren't intending to watch the eclipse, they got a good view of it anyway, right? Okay. And I have a feeling it's going to be likewise on April 2024. That's why I'm going to go a day early and make sure I have a place to stay and to observe on that following Monday. So I'll be there that Sunday ready with my tent. I'm going to set my tent up and get ready to watch the eclipse on the next day. All right. So the Southern Illinois University has a site dedicated to this. That is because the two solar eclipses, the one this year, that's 2017, and the one to come in 2024, intersect over the city of Carbondale. Dead center is actually a little town of Macanda, Illinois. The region around Southern Illinois is also known as Little Egypt. And the reason why it's known as that is because there have been in southern Illinois, all kinds of Egyptian artifacts, you know, going back a couple thousand years and even more, in various caves in southern Illinois, including Burroughs Cave, which I tried to visit, but it turned out to be on private property, and you had to clear it. I thought it might be a public museum or anything like that, but it turned out not to be that. In any case, the Israelites of the Old Testament times had come to America, to Michigan, to mine copper, and they were in Arkansas. They sailed up the Arkansas River and collected gems, and I don't know if there's any other precious metals in Arkansas, not that I'm aware of, but the Israelites, and they left their inscriptions all over America, including as far west as Albuquerque, New Mexico, where you have the Decalogue Stone, which had the Ten Commandments inscribed in Paleo Hebrew, and that people were aware of that stone for decades before anybody discovered Paleo Hebrew, right? They only knew about Jewish Hebrew. The modern letters, but this was inscribed in Paleo Hebrew, which is the language that the Israelites used, you know, 3,000-5,000 years ago. Okay, so there's a tremendous connection between Israel and America just by the fact that the Israelites came to America to search out, copper mine, copper ore, and other things like that. Okay, so Solomon sent ships, and the ships brought back copper ore and iron ore and things like that back to Israel, true Israel, not that stinking little rat hole in the Middle East. Okay, so it shows here the eclipse point, and it's not showing the cities. I have a list of the cities, but I don't have access to it at the moment. That's on my other computer. Anyway, so Little Egypt is southern Illinois, and there's all kinds of towns, well, like Cairo, Cairo, Illinois. Okay. How to get that name? Okay. Who knows how long it's had that name? Yeah. Go ahead.
That is very interesting also that this is the point where this one crosses that is called Little Egypt. And what was
That's
Egypt
right.
for the Israelite before? It was bondage.
That's
that
right.
Our bondage. And now again, we have a place again in America called Little Egypt. What is this coincidence with this? And also that the place is placed exactly then where Yahweh makes sure to make this cross. I mean, it's not coincidence. Right. It's by his planning.
No, and isn't America in bondage today?
Oh, yeah, this. Like, oh my, oh my.
Right?
Yeah,
right?
Like the rest of the Europe and all the rest of us, we are in greater bondage today and last time now. We are more slaves today, it feels like.
Yeah. Oh, even more.
Well, see, now, but the situation is pretty much the same because when Moses tried to get the Israelites to leave, they didn't want to. Okay. They were comfortable being slaves to the Egyptians, and somebody had to come along and say, hey, wait a minute, you're slaves. Don't you want to be free? Right. But the same is true of the American people and the people of the world. They're slaves to the economic system. And they don't know any better, and so they have no idea of rebelling against the system. But we have to change that, okay?
Yeah.
The Christian identity movement has to become the new Moses. Over to you. Your comment, Michael.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. We have to point out, and that's also what I try to do when I speak to people, to speak to them about the bondage, about the slavery that the central banking system poses on them. But very few are aware of that slavery. And to know that that's slavery, and to know that the central banks is nothing more than a private institution that is created by the Rothschild. And the same system about operating them and how to, it's the same all across the world. And exactly the same way to fool people. And that is something I try to point out, that you are under slavery. That's a slavery you are in. So, yeah, that's one of my, what I try to do when I don't try to speak about the Bible and saying that we are the Israelites. But that's the next level, I would say.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the main message that all white people in America, Sweden, Germany, etc., need to learn, is that we, the white race, the Caucasian people, are the true Israelites, and the Jews are imposters. And now we're enslaved to these perfidious Jews and their banking system, right? And it's amazing how few people are aware of anything about economics. When I was going to college, there was very little about the Federal Reserve. But nobody's taught about it in grade school, high school, or college. It's just assumed that the Federal Reserve is part of the government and their responsibility is to issue the nation's money. No, they're not part of the government. They're a private Jewish combine. It's a corporation that the Jews own and operate for their own benefit. Okay? This has to be repeated because people need to know this. All right? Now, interestingly, here in the next sentence, symbolically in scripture, Egypt can be seen to represent the world of unbelievers or Babylon. Very good. Because America has, for the most part, turned her back on God. Yes, for the most part. I would say the vast majority of even people who call themselves Christians have turned their back on Yahweh's laws. There's no doubt about that. There are some who apply these terms to America in our time. Yeah, we do. The darkness over the region of Little Egypt speaks of a judgment to fall on the world and the things that are contrary to God. Now, it's very interesting looking at this map of southern Illinois where it's really dark green. And that's because there's a gigantic forest down there and the land is suitable not for maybe cattle ranching. And for mining, it used to be coal mining territory for a long time. And there's also, southern Illinois has all kinds of methane reserves and even oil. There you'll find oil rigs pumping away all over southern Illinois. You drive down the highway, you'll see oil rigs to the left and right. Most people don't know that Illinois has lots of oil and gas and coal, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. Because we're not known for producing a lot, but it is a producing state. Okay, so the author is interpreting this dark spot in southern Illinois as an area of darkness, okay, which is, it's credible, okay, because it is centered in America. It would seem that judgment is starting here. Yeah, for sure, because we're interpreting the X marks the spot. And the two eclipses, and also the fact that the 70th Jubilee from the day that the Israelites went into Canaan land also happens in 2024. That's going to be a year of judgment. The number 70 is judgment. And let's continue. The book of Revelation has this warning to God's people in reference to Babylon, which is also symbolized as Egypt. I'm liking the fact that this article is talking about God's people, not the Jews. Revelation 18:4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Okay? All right. I can tell you I've never heard a Judeo minister ever quote Revelation 18. Okay. But only to the extent that they claim America is Babylon. Okay. You've probably heard that said by a minister, haven't you, Michael? That America is Babylon?
Yeah. That's the closest they say that they also always say that, America, look what America do. And I say like this, no, not America. It is the American government that is ruled by the Jewish power. Yeah, they do it, right. But it's not the American people.
Right. And most Americans don't even know what's going on, right? But we get the blame for what the Jews do, right? They're experts at that. Okay. All right. Continuing. It is not saying that we have to physically leave America, but that we need to separate ourselves. Yeah, we need to separate ourselves, right, from the other races, from the apostasy that has taken over our country. Well said. We need to repent personally of our own sins and pray for a spirit of repentance for the nation. 2 Timothy 2:25-26. Yeah, why don't you dial up those verses, Michael? And as we're reading through this, those two things are necessary for us to receive God's mercy during this time. And as it says in Revelation 12, at the very end, verse 17, you have to have the you have to obey the commandments of Yahweh and faith in Jesus Christ in order to be saved. You have to have both. One is not good enough. You have to have both. You have to accept Yahshua Messiah as your Lord and Savior, and you have to obey Yahweh's commandments. All right? If you don't do those two things, you're not getting into the kingdom. Well, let's continue. The Israelites lived in Egypt when the darkness fell on that nation, but the Israelites were protected by the hand of God. Again, the author is using the term God's people and Israelites instead of Jews. The author is to be commended for that. Posted by Randy and Kathy Furman. Exodus 10, 21 through 23. And Yahweh said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And, well, what's the other thing that earthquakes can do? They can knock out the transmission lines of electricity, right? I mean, one of the worst things that could happen to modern society is to have no power.
Yeah, then it's dark then. It will be game over.
Yes, right, game over. The ice cream in your freezer is going to melt. Oh, my God. Okay, you better eat it quick before it melts, okay? So, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. Felt, interesting. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Okay, folks? I hope you have candles. I hope you have oil lamps, right? Don't let your oil burn out as the... as the foolish virgins did. Okay. So we're being warned, folks. And we know, we've been saying this for years, Michael, here at Eurofolk Radio, that it's inevitable for Mystery Babylon to fall. And, they're not going to do it themselves. And we simply are not capable, even if we had an organized militia to march on Washington. You know, they control our military system, and there's no way we can make, the Bible says, who can make war against the beast, right? We don't have that capability. However, Yahweh does, okay? And it's looking to me like April 8th. Now, it's not going to happen on April 8th, because we still have to wait for the year of Jubilee to take place. And, do you have those verses, Michael?
I do. So, okay. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 25-26. In meekness, instructing those who are in opposition, lest somehow Elohim gives them repentance unto a thought knowledge of the truth. And they came to their senses out of the snare of the devil, hang them, okay. Take captivity by him to do his desire.
So we need to pray that the American people come to their senses and repent. All right. We've just been having such a gay old time, literally, right? In the modern sense of the word gay. And of course, hardy hardy with drugs and, borrowed money. All of the American people who lost money during the 2008 eclipse of the economy, that this time, if Yahweh declares the 70th Jubilee and declares all debts canceled, then the Jews are going to be in a big hurt. But a lot of people are going to lose their mortgages. If you're lucky, you'll be able to keep your house. But I think we're going to have another 3 days of darkness. I think that's predicted in the book of Revelation as well, that there will be 3 days of darkness when the end comes. Okay? So, excellent stuff.
Yeah. And if you look, as you say also, if you look in how modern society is so dependent upon electricity, You just look outside and all the city light, everything will just be completely black. I know sometimes when I went through, I was on the interstate toward into Stockholm, and it was the power was out. It was completely dark, regardless. Right. Of, okay, yeah, the car had some lighting, but you looked inside where the town is. It's black. It was just black. So it will be extremely dark when all those lamps go out.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
and and the system is built like that. I mean, nothing can happen if this power goes up. I mean, you cannot do any, you cannot get any petrol or diesel because the pump won't work, and and the shops there, they cannot take any cash, even if you have cash, because their system is connected to some internet that is down. Right. So everything will come to a stop.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be hell on earth, right? That's what it's going to be.
Okay, so we're approaching the top of the hour, and so I'm just going to, I'm not sure if this is a pro-Israel site or not. Yeah, it looks like it is, but nevertheless, let me just quote what the lady has to say here. This is Ruth Esther Vauter. Interesting name, V-A-W-T-E-R, Chapel Hills prayer leader. So she's a Christian. Interesting facts about the Great American Eclipse of 2017. One, the eclipse began in Salem, Oregon. Salem was the first name of Jerusalem in the Old Testament, and Salem means peace. So I think what we're going to be heading toward Yahweh's peace. We've been having like 200 years ever since the Battle of Waterloo, which is what, 1800? Yes, 200 years or more, 220 years of the Jewish version of peace, which is called communism. Okay. Number two, the time of the eclipse in Salem, Oregon was the exact time of sunset in Jerusalem. So the sun is setting on old Jerusalem. That's good. Both cities grew dark at the same time. On August 21, 2017, Salem, Oregon, because of the eclipse and because of nightfall in Jerusalem. Now, of course, Yahshua pronounced a curse on the literal city of Jerusalem in Matthew chapter 24. And so I think the sun is going to set on the Israeli state really soon. The internal squabbles the Jews are having among themselves are getting worse all the time. And Bibi Netanyahu has like less than a 10% approval rating. So that's even worse than Biden, right? Three, the eclipse traveled across seven cities named Salem. The eclipse began in Salem, Oregon, and ended in Salem, South Carolina. Observe the map displaying five other Salems along the 70-mile-wide path, traveling 1,500 miles per hour, and lasting a total of 1 hour and 33 minutes from one end of the country to the other. You see Salem, Idaho, Salem, Wyoming, Salem, Nebraska, Salem, Missouri, and Salem, Kentucky. Now, that is not a coincidence, I agree. It's not a coincidence that an eclipse path would hit. And, of course, the number seven, that's the favorite number of the book of Revelation, correct?
Yes, okay. It is.
Yeah. All right. So let me just finish this article. It's very brief. Scientists were able to calculate the exact time of the eclipse across the country to within seconds. I believe the universe was created in order by a divine creator. I don't have enough faith to believe that this universe evolved from a big bang. There is no proof of evolution of animals in the last 6,000 years. That's true. And, okay. Oh, and it says a sunset Jewish holiday. Well, again, Jerusalem was eclipsed on that day indirectly. Okay. So very interesting stuff. So when we come back from the break, we will talk more about the other two eclipses that are going to impinge on April 8th. So thanks for being around. Stick around while we play the music. And this is Europhoke Radio, simulcasting on Speak Free Radio. And We'll be right back after the musical break here. Let's see, what song should we play here? And no, not dance pop. Okay. So let's call upon the name. Let's call upon the name. Here we go.
See the mistakes you have made on the way. Father can change them. And all the wounds you sustained here today, Father can heal them. The darkness of a deep despair-filled ocean can overwhelm the strongest of souls, and the tide
Call upon His holy name in the last day.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Eli James back, and I'm waiting for Michael to return. And I just want to quickly announce that we are on Speak Free Radio, simulcasting on Eurofolk Radio. And Speak Free Radio is sponsored by Money Tree Publishing, which is a going concern and publishing much anti-Jewish, anti-Babylonian material, pro-German material, and including Mein Kampf, Henry Ford's The International Jew, The War Against Whites by Arthur Kemp, Jews Are the Problem, books like that. Oh, and The Great Impersonation, How the Antichrist Has Deceived the Whole World, Exposing the Lies of History. So please avail yourself of this website. It is moneytreepublishing.com. And you can check out the various books and CDs that they have available, and let your friends and relatives know about this, because there is another world outside of the Jewish construct in the name of Yahweh, and of course The Synagogue of Satan by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. So this construct, the Jewish construct, will fall. It's just a question of time. And we know the Jews are getting really arrogant and even proclaiming their sin, proclaiming that they're the authors of homosexuality and transgenderism and all that. And you probably heard that Biden had actually stated that Easter is today Easter Sunday? I think yes, it is. I'm an ex-Catholic, so I don't pay attention to Easter anymore. But I guess today is Easter Sunday. And he proclaimed Easter Sunday as being National Transgender Day. So all you homosexual Catholics, you can celebrate. You can celebrate. Why? What a crazy world we live in. Welcome back, Michael. All right.
Thank you. It's the same. Can say it's the same here too. They're pushing for those, what do you say, those surgeries to changing the genitalia in Sweden now, to having it legal for children that are 16.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're pushing it all across the, and somehow, can someone tell me that this is not coordinated by the Jews? You see this coordination they have all across those when they pushing out all this bullshit that they find out. All this shit they pull. Yeah, I cannot, how much they can. So this is again, you see, it's bad. It's orchestrated from above, and people say, oh yes, Queen's ideas followed. No, it's not. It is centralized from the Jewish mind and the Jewish kahilla.
Right. Amen. Amen. Okay, I just posted a link to an article of Shekinah. This is Sapphire Throne Ministries, and the Shekinah and the Seven Salems of the Total Solar Eclipse. Now we're talking about the eclipse of 2024, and the let me just start. Let me take the first couple of paragraphs, and you know, I'll turn it over to you. A short article, but there's all kinds of interesting YouTubes. We can't be playing any YouTube videos here. And the article says, there's much ado about the Great American Total Solar Eclipse. What classifies as a total eclipse of the sun is when the moon covers the entire disk of the sun. If a solar eclipse is total at any point on Earth, it's called a total solar eclipse. Hence, the Great American Total Solar Eclipse on August 21st, 2017, that will cross. Now, wait a minute. Doesn't this talk about the 2024? That's why I linked it. Okay. No, this is only about the 2017, even though I searched for 2024. Hold on. Okay. All right, so let's see with this one. Gleazy.com. Let's try this one. Oh, okay. Seven Salem Eclipse Crown Cultivators Blog. Okay, this one's also about 2017. This next one is definitely about 2024, so let me grab this one. Yes. TechSideline.com. And sorry for the confusion today. I got caught off guard having technical difficulties all week. All right. So now it goes through both. Let me put this in the chat room. And we'll be talking about the eclipse of 2024. All right. So now the second great American eclipse is almost here, and the path of that eclipse will cross over 7 U.S. locations named Nineveh. Okay. And also 7. Oh, okay. It's very short. Anyway, we have Nineveh, Texas, Nineveh, Missouri, Nineveh, Indiana, Nineveh, Ohio, Nineveh, Pennsylvania, Virginia, and New York. And there's also, it's also going to cross over Nova Scotia because there's a Nineveh. Now these aren't direct hits. A couple of them are, but most of them are just near the eclipse path of 2024, which is, again, another 7 cities named Salem in the eclipse path of 2024. So, Michael, what is, in your opinion, have you got a calculator? What are the odds that 2 eclipses would have 7 cities named Salem in their eclipse paths 7 years apart? What do you think the odds are?
Probably if I was good at statistics and make that, probably that will be either the chances of it will be very small, the statistical wise, it will be very small, probably it will be infinite. But it's because Yahweh has made it so. He is the master in statistics. He is the master in all this. That is also, and that it's finding 7 places with the same name and that they are also built in this place, it also tells something very significant. And then you're passing it and you have this cross on it.
Yes.
And a big X. And we'll be talking about that big X in a little bit. Okay. So, this article says the 2024 eclipse and the rapture. We don't want to talk about the rapture. Okay. So here from TikTok.
I can read from this Sapphire Ministries, because I went back to the page and I find one here. It said, only sign given will be the sign of Jonah. So I can read that.
There you
one.
Go. Go ahead.
The sign of Jonah was a solar eclipse. One also showed up at Christ's crucifixion. It showed up again in our day, painting an ancient Aleph Tav on the landscape of the United States of America.
Right.
After religious leaders demanded that Yeshua show them a sign from heaven, he declared, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it, except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Matthew 12:39-40. Prior to the Son of Man tarrying 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, there was a very unusual total solar eclipse that could have been caused by a planet-sized object. It happened for 3 hours from 12 to 3 p.m. while Messiah Yeshua, i.e. Jesus Christ, hung on the cross. Now, from the 6th hour darkness fell upon the land until the 9th hour. Matthew 27:45. The darkness broke when Yeshua yielded up his spirit and cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Matthew 27:46. Prior to the darkness of Christ's crucifixion, there was another total solar eclipse in Jonah's days that Yeshua referred to as the sign of Jonah, Luke 11:29. Archaeological evidence for this was unearthed in 19th century when ancient cuneiform tablets were found that described the Bur Sagal Eclipse, whose paint went over the capital of the Assyrian Empire, Nineveh, on 15th of June, 763 BC. The Bur Sagal Eclipse coincided with the reign of Jeroboam II, who ruled Israel from 786 to 746 BC. According to 2 Kings 14, verse 25, the Nineveh prophet Jonah lived and prophesied during Jeroboam's second reign. Biblical scholar Donald J. Wiseman has suggested that the Bur Sagal eclipse could have taken place around the time of Jonah's arrival in Nineveh, to put an exclamation point to this repentance message for the Ninevites to avoid destruction. June 15, 763 BC was the first of Elul on the Hebrew calendar that year. In our day, the first sign of the ancient Aleph Tav triad of eclipse was beheld on 21st of August 2017. This was also Elul Wa Elul. First coincidence? I think not. It is God's incidence. The first days of Elul begins 40 days of repentance for God's people. It is called the season of repentance. Remember how Jonah proclaimed, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Jonah 3, verses 4. The season of repentance always ends during the high holidays, on the Day of Atonement. Therefore, in this kingdom day, we have the ancient Aleph Tav triad of eclipse to begin on Elul 1, August 21st, 2017, which shouts, "Repent or be overturned." The ancient Aleph Tav sign will be completed on April the 8th, 2024, which is 6 years, 6 months, 6 weeks, and 6 days later. The 8th of April is Nisan 1 this year, which is the only biblical new year articulated in the Bible itself. This latter sign proclaims God's righteous judgment for a new beginning. And then you have a reference here. In between, there was an annular solar eclipse observed on 14th of October 2023, which was the 29th of Tishri on the Hallel calendar that most Jewish people use. The history of the 29th of Tishri include the Jews being expelled from Lower Bavaria in 1450 AD. Oh, but this is Jewish bullshit now, it's mixed in with. I missed this. And it was also deadline in the 1940s of Warsaw Jews to move into the ghetto. I don't want to read more of this because now we're mixed in with the Jews here. I don't know. You get, I think it's more Jewish. They believe that the Jews seems to be the God's chosen people. I thought it was better than that, but it wasn't really. So I spare you that part. Are you still there? Oh. And it seems that Eli has fallen out from the chat. I missed that. Let's see. Okay, I'm still in the StreamYard studio, so I have to continue to find something. I will try to find something meanwhile. I think Eli will soon shortly join again. Let's see, because I had one more more article about the April 8th in the same, so I can read that one as well here. So this one is called Later Sign of the 2024 Great American Eclipse. The date of the next Great American Eclipse, 8th of April 2024, speaks about the two witnesses of the two cities called Nineveh in the Great American Eclipse path of Chocholi. By the numbers, April the 8th, 2024 is 04/08/2024. 4 + 8 + 2 + 2 + 4 = 20, and that is equal to. The number of 2 stands for witness. By the mouth of the 2 or 3 witnesses, every word shall be established. 2 Corinthians 13:1. I like to take notice of these things because God is always speaking if we pay attention. Fourth, eighth, and also represent April the 8th. Exodus 4:8 reveals, then it will be, if they do not believe you, nor heard the message of the first sign, that they may believe in the message of the latter sign. Oh, so there's something in Exodus 4:8 here that talks about two signs. This verse is in the midst of the passage where God is speaking to Moses about using him for his miraculous sign to Pharaoh. We can also extrapolate that the 2017 Great American Eclipse is the first sign of the ancient Aleph Tav sign written on the landscape of the United States, while the 2024 Great American Eclipse is the latter sign. I believe that most, if not all, the latter signs, latter time, and latter rain scriptures can be applied to the latter sign of the 2024 Great American Eclipse, otherwise known as the completion of the ancient Aleph Tav sign, that the finger of God will draw on the United States.
Okay,
the ones that stick out most to me right now is Hosea 3:5 and Hosea 6:3. Hosea 3:5 is about Israel's returning to God to after committing adultery with other gods, which is very much a now word for those who have understanding. Afterward, the children of Israel shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They shall fear the Lord and his godness in the latter days. Then Hosea 6:3 repeats the returning of the Lord theme, which is repentance. Repentance is probably the biggest theme with the 2024 Great American Eclipse. Dew is passing through several cities called Nineveh, which connects to the sign of Jonah. I will be writing more on this shortly. For now, you can check out. I see just a link there. Additionally, during the 8th of April 2024, total solar eclipse, the heavens will have on display a devil comet. 12P/Pons Brooks, passing through the whale constellation Cestus at the same time, which might photobomb the 2024 Great American Eclipse. Come,
okay, Michael, can you hear me?
Return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. Hosea 6:1-3. Give him heaven.
Okay. All right, Michael, can you hear me? Okay. Apparently, Michael cannot hear me.
I hear you now. Now I hear you, Eli.
Oh,
sorry.
You do? Okay. Very. Okay. All right. So, yeah, I wasn't sure. My hotspot overheated. I dropped out, but fortunately, you were able to continue doing the show, which is very good. That's excellent that you were able to continue doing the show. All right. But I wanted to – are you done with that article?
I'm done. The first part was okay. Because it was a bit Jewish, but the other one was interesting because they pointed to this verse in Exodus 4:8. I don't know if you heard that one. It said, "Then it will be, if they do not believe you, nor heard the message of the first sign, that they may believe the message of the latter sign."
Okay.
That is interesting. Okay. You have two signs, and they have given one, and they didn't pay heed, and here's the latter one. Maybe they believe this one, then.
Maybe they will this time. Right. Okay. So I've got a website. I posted it in the chat room. This is eclipsewitness.com, American Eclipse Judgment. And it talks about, it's got the illustrations of the American Aleph and American Tav. And of course, Yahshua said, I am the beginning and I am the Alpha and Omega. That's the Greek. And the interesting thing about the October eclipse in 2023, that was October 14th, 2023. And if you open up the website, you'll see an image of the three eclipses that happened between August 7, 2017 and will happen on April 8, 2024. So as most of you probably know, the Hebrew letter Aleph is in the shape of a bull. Okay, so you can clearly see in the lower right-hand portion the two horns of the bull. But the letter Aleph had a line through it, making it look like a letter A, but it was upside down. So it eventually became the letter A in English. And so that's your Aleph. And your Tav is in the second illustration where the two eclipse pass. So Aleph and Tav are the beginning and the end. Okay. The beginning and the end of, I hope, the new Jew world order. Okay. All right. So an original map by Sand depicting the American Aleph, the hieroglyphic pattern formed by mapping the three complete solar eclipse paths of August 21st, 2017, October 14th, 2023, and April 8th, 2024. Now, the October 14th was not a total solar eclipse. It was an annular eclipse, which means that you could see a ring around the moon, the ring of the sun going around the outer edges. That's not a total eclipse. That's an annular eclipse. However, that annular eclipse formed the letter O, which is your alpha and omega. So you have your Aleph Tav in the Hebrew. You have your alpha and omega in Greek. And all these signs coming together, folks, it's all very incredible. Anyway, the author says, there has never been such a tightly formed, obvious Aleph over the interior borders of any nation in at least the last 1,000 years. I'm not aware that it ever happened before. A Tav is a cross, the last letter of both the ancient Hebrew and Egyptian alphabets. The Aleph is an A, the source of our modern letter. They are the first and last letters, the Alpha and Omega, essentially. The April 8th, 2024 eclipse creates all three letters within minutes by crossing the lines created by the first two eclipses from south to north. So very interesting. So we see the, Hebrew alphabet coming into play here as well. So the second sign, the American Tav, an original map by Sand depicting the American Hepton Tav formed by the total solar eclipses of 2017 and 2024. The apex is over the area known as Little Egypt, Illinois. Closest town is Macanda. This is the first time two total eclipses separated by less than 10 years have crossed over the USA since its founding. In fact, they are the first overland total cross in the area of the USA since 1451. Okay, so you click American maps since 1492. 1492 to determine peculiarity. Again, extremely rare occurrences here. And finally, let's go to the third image, the Texas Tab. And that was formed on October of 2023. Let me read through it here. An original map by Sand depicting the Texas Tab mapping the intersection of the October 14, 2023 Ring of Fire and the April 8, 2024 total eclipse, which occurs 177 days later. There has never been any two complete eclipses make a cross over the area of the USA within such a short time since at least 1492. The apex of the Texas Tab is in the hill country of Texas, west of San Antonio. Closest town is Utopia, Texas. We would like to have a Utopia, wouldn't we? All right. So let me scroll down here because it talks first about the 2017 eclipse. And, okay. And let's get to the 2023 eclipse. Okay. October 14th. Facts and peculiarities. Almost Columbus Day, October 14, 2023, is 531 years and 2 days from the discovery of the Americas by Christopher Columbus. 48% sun coverage at his landing site in San Salvador, Bahamas. Was there an eclipse there as well? Apparently so. Anniversary of first crime of the conquistadors, October 14, 2023, is the exact 531st anniversary of Columbus' abduction of 7 native youth to serve as guides, the first colonial crime in the Americas. Oh, okay. So we can, Eisenhower and Hitler versus Hitler rematch? 2023, October 14th is the 133rd birthday of Dwight D. Eisenhower. Oh, no. That's a bad sign. Born October 14th, 1890. Another complete eclipse occurred 6 months earlier on Adolf Hitler's 134th birthday on April 20th. He was born April 20th, 1889. Eisenhower and Hitler were enemies of World War II, of course. Let's see if there's any other really peculiar distance from Mayan apocalypse. October 14, 2023 is exactly 555.5 eclipse years from the Mayan apocalypse. Total eclipse of August 8, 1496, which brought terror to the Aztec and Mayan tribes just as Spanish conquistadors were arriving. That's fascinating that there was an eclipse associated with the arrival of the conquistadors. Okay, extended peculiarities of October 14, 2023, Ring of Fire. I'm not sure why they call it the Ring of Fire. North and South America, this is the first complete solar eclipse to connect the USA and South America, including full annularity at the Panama Canal. Since the USA's founding in 1776, the path connects North and South America with a complete solar eclipse for the first time since October 13, 1632, 391 years and 1 day before this October 14 eclipse. The path touches nine nations, difficult geographic tightrope, perhaps the most ever for an eclipse in the Western Hemisphere. Lincoln anniversary, it says here. The 2023 eclipse enters the USA 10 miles south of Lincoln City, Oregon, exactly 167 eclipse years after the assassination of Abraham Lincoln on April 14, 15, 1865. And we know it was the Jews who assassinated Lincoln because of the greenback. And also because he wanted to send the slaves back to Africa and out of America. He was a member of the American Colonization Society, and he was trying to send the blacks out of America for the entire tenure of his presidency. So the Rothschilds had future use for blacks in America as we see today, and but they had no use for the greenbacks. All right. So they had to get rid of that. Okay. So Nevada, annularity misses Las Vegas by 100 miles, but still has 82% coverage. Utah, the eclipse crosses Utah, staying south, where it passes over several national parks and monuments. So anyway, anybody who's interested in following the eclipse, I think I said earlier that the if you want to go to an area that has total total coverage, you better get there early. because traffic along the highways is going to be very bad, extremely bad. Okay. All right. Peculiarities of the April 8th, 2024 total eclipse. Even number. All individual and collective digits of the 4-8-2024 eclipse are even numbers. This is the first time this has happened since a partial solar eclipse on June 6, 886 AD. That's definitely a peculiar, a peculiar number. Easter occurs 8 days after Easter, the closest any solar eclipse can astronomically occur to Easter. Easter is March 31st, the first Sunday after a full moon after the spring equinox. Yeah, so that's how the Catholics determine their celebration of, well, they call it Easter, but it's really Passover. Okay. Most people ever in the USA, the eclipse will cover far more metropolitan cities and go over more Americans in one path than any total eclipse in the nation's history. It's going to be in the millions, folks. Lots of cities, Dallas, Fort Worth, San Antonio, Texarkana, Little Rock, Terre Haute, Indianapolis, Dayton, Akron, Cleveland, Buffalo, Syracuse, Rochester, Burlington, Montpelier. Near the center again, the path passes within 50 miles of the geographic population center of the USA, Hartville, Missouri, with 99% totality. So it's passing over the heart of America, folks. The second line of Tav, it forms a balanced curve across, or X, Hebrew Tav, within the August 21st, 2017 eclipse, and also with the October 2023 eclipse. So we have a double witness of the Aleph and Tav with these three eclipses forming the letter Aleph in their various paths. Mexico and Canada, too, crosses more metropolitan populations across nations of Mexico or cities, Mexico, USA, and Canada, than any other complete solar eclipse in the history of the Western Hemisphere. Let's see, Mexico. The eclipse first entered the North American continent with centerline directly over the resort city of Mazatlan. It also traverses cities of Durango and Torreon, site of the third tallest statue of Christ in Latin America. Maximum eclipse, 4 minutes, 27 seconds, and of entire eclipse occurs near city of Nazas, an Arabic word for evil eye, and shorthand for Nazareth. Very interesting. The eclipse exits Mexico at Ciudad Acuña to enter U.S. at Del Rio. Okay. First Canadian total eclipse in 45 years. That's interesting that Canada is a much bigger country than America. However, it's so much further north that few eclipses occur there. Okay. Texas. Texas historical and geographical peculiarities, April 8, 2024. The path manages to pass over three of the four largest cities in Texas, San Antonio, Austin, Dallas, Fort Worth. Together, they are home to more than 12 million people. Also in the path are several other large cities, including Plano, Del Rio, Waco, and Texarkana. The Texas Tav, the two eclipses of October 2023 and 2024, April 8, make a geographical X over South Texas. Texas is the only state in the USA with the letter X in its name. The center of the X of those two paths, the near town of Utopia. So those are some of the interesting facts about these three eclipses. I think we pretty much covered the topic. Your comment at this point, Michael.
No, but it's so interesting to see that I don't know all those that he has collected, places that those eclipses have passed that had some kind of significance to your history and also to the world's history. So right. I find that very interesting. And also this with Texas, that it goes over Texas with an X. That's an only state where you have that.
Yes, very interesting. Okay, so all right, so let me just type in here. I'll just talk about it. So when the Israelites under Joshua invaded Canaan, the date was 1406 BC, and that was the very first Passover practiced by the Israelites. Now, a lot of people say, well, that's wrong. That can't be right, because the Israelites were in the desert for 40 years, and they had the Sabbath. But of course, it wasn't a Sabbath that the Israelites themselves practiced. It was imposed upon them by Yahweh, where he provided manna 6 days a week, but declined to offer it on the Sabbath. So, but that's the extent to which the Israelites practiced the Sabbath. It wasn't done of their accord. It was done by Yahweh to them, so they would get used to the idea of practicing the Sabbath every seventh day, right? Okay. But they weren't practicing the slaughtering of the lambs, because they didn't have any. Okay. There were pheasants and other animals, and of course there was manna, which they were provided virtually daily by Yahweh during those 40 years, but the Israelites weren't practicing the feast day calendar. That was not put into effect until the day that Joshua and the Israelites crossed into Canaan land, 1406 BC, and they used the produce of the Canaanites to practice their first actual Sabbath and first actual Passover. Okay? So that was the date when the Passover, the feast day calendar, was instituted for our people Israel. Now, 70 jubilees later, 3,430 years later, is 2024. 2024, ladies and gentlemen, 70 jubilees. The jubilee was supposed to declare all debts canceled. Every 49 years, Yahweh expects us to cancel each other's debts. So, Michael, if you owed me $1,000, I'm out of luck. It's over, right? You don't owe me that anymore during the Jubilee year. Now, the Jubilee year goes from one Feast of Atonement of the 49th year of the cycle into the first, into the Day of Atonement in the first year of the next cycle. So this Jubilee period will be from, and I don't have Brother Abraham's calendar in front of me, but it's in the autumn. The autumn feasts are different from the spring feasts. We'll go into that shortly as well. But we see that it's a one-year celebratory year. It's not a part of the calendar. It's not a calendar year. It's a feast year, during which time the Israelites had to arrange for all debts to be canceled. Okay? So that's the purpose of the Jubilee year. Now, the number 70 is very frequent in scripture. The Israelites were, the house of Judah was taken into captivity in Babylon for 70 years. We have Daniel's prophecy of 70 weeks prophesying the coming of Yahshua Messiah. So the number 70 is extremely important in scripture, and this is no exception. When the 70 times 49 comes together in the year 2024 and going into the year 2025, I think, Michael, we can expect some sort of judgment to occur.
Yeah, and that so let's hope that the people, the Christians, the white people of the world start to repent now, because that is what, yeah. Now he gives a sign, as I said, if they don't listen out to the second sign, yeah, we have to listen and then repent to this one. I don't know how many days then, is it 40 days, how long time before stuff stopped to happen, because it's not like the cross has passed and then boom, then after that the time starts tick, it will start ticking.
Right. Well, look at what's happened to the planet, and especially to America, in the last 7 years. If Donald Trump was a breath of fresh air at the beginning, right, until he fast-tracked the COVID injections, that was a horrible thing for him to do. But, I mean, look at how the country has degenerated in the last 7 years with all the transgender nonsense, children being involuntarily submitted or subjected to transgender surgery without their parents' knowledge, even, and the gay, and men participating in girls' sports and beating the crap out of them. Go ahead, Michael. You were going to say something.
That makes me so blah. I mean, I had enough with the I can tell you with the gays, the deuce one. I think that was blah. I didn't like that at all. But this, all the other crap, it gets too much. All this, I have much problem. I have enough problem with them, and now all this crap just comes along. And then, of course, why I also hate this. This LBGT blah blah blah. I don't know the nonsense, but it's an
rainbow.
It's a Trojan horse for pedophilia.
Corner.
Yeah, but
it's a Trojan
horse for the pedophilias and pedophiles. So that's the worst thing you have. And then that you have parents, mothers, and fathers that take people to those parades. And it's not parades. Those parents should
orgies.
They should also be prosecuted, taken to somewhere where they get educated what they are doing to their children. This is not. It is not funny. It is not education. It is not entertainment. It is filth. Sorry for the rant.
Total degeneracy in the last 7 years has gotten markedly worse in the last 7 years. So, was there any indication that Well, let's put it this way. Donald Trump is not a Christian. He said publicly he's not a Christian.
He's Jewish.
Yeah. Well, and then he converted to Judaism while he was president the first time around. Okay. So whether he gets reelected or not, there's not going to be any turnaround of America. The American people have to repent, stop engaging. The main problem that I see is that the Judeo churches, the so-called Christian churches, have remained utterly silent through this entire period of intense degeneracy, which they should be condemning and not accepting. Okay? It's the churches that are at the greatest fault, absolute greatest fault. Okay?
Yeah. They should have defended more. They should have standed there because they are like the moral that stand for some kind of morality in society. But they just, it's good. And same with the COVID and all this transgender. And from the first stop with the homosexual when that started to come, you say no, 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 because it will be more, 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 more. You have to say no from the start. And that is also why it is like that in the Bible. But nothing is permitted. Because it needs to be stopped immediately from the, it's in the gate. You can't permit anything of it. And then the those one are doing it, they should repent and stop doing it because they are using it for their own pleasures. It's only for their, I don't know what it is for. It is, I can't understand it, to be honest. I have no understanding for it.
Self-congratulation is Jewish, right? It's the Jews congratulating themselves for taking over the entire world, which they have, okay? Starts with banking, then the control of media, control of entertainment, et cetera, et cetera. And the world has been subjected to this Jewish power since the Battle of Waterloo. And so, but there's a prophecy in the book of Revelation, it's either in chapter 19 or 20 that the period of time during which the evil power will control the world. It calls it a little season, and that little season is from the day that the Rothschilds assume power at the Battle of Waterloo until the Judgment Day. Okay. So that up to this point in time, it's roughly 220 years, and that's the little season of evil, intense evil, before the Judgment Day. And can it be denied that since the Rothschilds took power after the Battle of Waterloo, that planet Earth has been doing nothing but war, communist revolution, degeneracy, sexual, all kinds of perverted sexuality since that day?
Yeah, it started up with that. That's when everything started. That's when all the revolutions are started, when all stuff gone from worst to worst to worst. I mean, now we are going to hell in a handbasket. And I don't know how many is reflecting on it, because when you speak to people about, they are just apathetic. They just don't care. I don't know what can we do. I don't know. When I speak to some people, they are apathetic. They don't seem to care. They don't seem to see it either. They are too afraid to just say, no, homosexuality is not okay. No, we don't need to have it. I don't want to see it. I'm to being around those people. I don't like that. It's not what I like. Oof.
Okay, so we have about 10 minutes left. Let's just go into now Revelation chapter 12, because the sign of the woman in the sky did take place right after the 2017 eclipse. I believe it was September 22nd, if I have the date correct. Maybe you could look that up. But anyway, Revelation chapter 12, and because this is happening right before our very eyes, folks, and I'm just going to read through it real quick. Revelation 12:1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. So this can only represent Israel, the people of Israel, okay? Because the 12 tribes still exist, contrary to what the Jews say, that they are the only surviving tribe of the 12. Verse 2, and she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. Now these are the 7 empires, from Egypt down to actually Napoleon. It only talks about Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and then Napoleon. These are the 7 heads with 10 horns, which became the Holy Roman Empire. And his tail, we're talking about the great red dragon, Satan, the devil. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And it's talking about the fallen angels who rebelled along with Lucifer. Okay? And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Okay, so Israel brought forth, the Virgin Mary brought forth this man-child. However, there's more to this prophecy than just this. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Okay, so first, the 10 northern tribes of Israel crossed the Caucasus Mountains in the year 745 BC. First half tribe of Manasseh was taken captive by the Assyrians in that year. And then 1260 years later, the woman was in, our people were in the wilderness of Europe, but we were creating nation states during this time. Verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. As I think it's Jude says, they left their first estate and have been cast down to the earth for judgment. Their judgment day is approaching, folks. Verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Aren't they deceiving the whole world?
Oh, yeah, they've been doing that since, we were born in that one, when they're deceiving the world. The Jews are expert at that.
Yes, that's their something. Basic business. Yeah. But they have to control other sub-businesses too, you know, the corporate world of entertainment, you know, movies, news, everything. They, and of course, banking. It starts with banking. And by being able to issue the currency of virtually every nation on the face of the earth, with the Federal Reserve note being the dominant currency since the Bretton Woods Agreement right after World War II, they have been able to dominate the world by issuing the world's currency, right? And they can spend it as they please. There's no oversight by Congress on the Federal Reserve. So in essence, the Federal Reserve, the Jewish Federal Reserve, is using our money to imprison the entire world, folks. That's how it's done, okay? Now, Revelation 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now, who's been accusing us day and night of being evil white people?
It's the Jews. Right? They're always accused. They always, they never cease. They are the accuser one.
That's right. And that's Diablos, in the Greek,
And then we have one also that is our defender, and that is also Yahshua Messiah, Jesus Christ. Well, he is our defender also.
Amen. Okay. So, again, and of course, the Jews accuse Christ of being the son of a whore, and we Christians who cause the Jews all the problems they've had in the world. No. It's their own fault for all of the evil they do. That's why they've been kicked out of over 100 nations throughout history, and actually way more than that, okay? But then they come back, they plead poverty. Oh, we're so persecuted. Please let us back in. And they always come back in, and our people are stupid enough to let them back in, right? But that's history, okay? And they, that is our people, we overcame him, the dragon, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Now, how many Christians love not their lives? How many Christians would give up this life in order to have the kingdom come into being?
Sorry, take it one more time.
Yeah, how many of the Judeo-Christian world would give up their lives for the coming of the kingdom?
Oh, that's few. Barely few that will do that. They few. That's my estimation. Yeah. Because also Yahshua also said that my flock is tiny. It's not said it's small. It is tiny. So that said, it's far between us. We know that. So yeah, there's very few will do that.
Yeah. Now, very pertinent to our time right now, verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman. Not the Jews, folks, which brought forth the man-child. Here the woman is Israel in general. It's us, okay? And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, which is the coming of America, because America is the... okay, now here's a time, times, and half a time from the face of the serpent. So there's the other 1,260 years, which makes 2,520 years from the date that Manasseh was taken captive, and you add that to 745 BC, that's 1776 AD, the year that America was formed, okay? But now, very important, verse 15, because we're running out of time. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman. Now, we're not talking about literal water here, right?
No.
Aren't we talking about illegal aliens?
And that has also increased very much the last years. Talk about something. And in America, too, you're getting a flood. Talk about flood of people. And I, too, sit here in Sweden. I see every kind of comes here, floods in here. So if he doesn't cut time short, we will be mixed away. Now I see everything. Right. Indians, everything.
You got it. That's the plan. I mean, the great replacement, it's been called the grace replacement, and the Jews have no end of videos and articles saying, no, the grace replacement is not happening. The white race is not being destroyed by immigration. Hooey! Who on you, Jew? It's happening. We know it's happening, and we're not going to believe your lies anymore. If we can get our people to wake up that the Jews are nothing but liars and they never stop lying, then maybe this great awakening would happen and our people would recover, because I'm still hopeful that the dry bones of Ezekiel chapter 37, they come back to life and Israel has a revival. But this is what has to happen, Michael. We have to have a revival of true Christianity with the knowledge that we Caucasians are the true Israelites of the Bible, and that we have to maintain the kingdom, prepare ourselves for the coming of the kingdom and the judgment day. All right?
Yeah.
That's what we have to do. Yeah, you're coming.
Yeah. Few people talk about the problem with race mixing, and that is very few in the Truth Movement does that. So that's why we have to lift that up, because it's killing our people. Yah bless you all. Thank you.
Yeah, we bless. Okay, folks, thanks for listening. But it also says that the dragon made war with the woman and the...
Beep.